Today's scripture is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother, Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This ends the reading from the New Testament, Gospel of Matthew. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. We are still getting revved up now for this revolution. I hope we are committed to it and following it. We talked a couple of Sundays ago about Jesus the revolutionary, how revolutionary it was that God would come to in the flesh and live a fully human life, and then especially how revolutionary it is when we see Jesus the Son with the Father affirming that he is the Beloved One, all in the love of the Holy Spirit, this triune God. And then last Sunday we talked about rebels, that we are called to rebel against every other path, no matter how tempting and alluring, no matter what its promises. We are called by Jesus to rebel against all other paths and commit ourselves to his way, to follow him and to join him in this kingdom revolution. And so today, while we are really committed to the revolutionary, he is the one who is our hope, we need to know what his message actually is. And this is especially important because we are bombarded every day by all kinds of messages, so much so that many of us don't really realize it's happening, whether you're, of course, on television or as you drive around or online, things popping up. And there are all kinds of messages that we hear from advertisers, of course, trying to work, even using music and other things to work their message into our brains to become part of our lives, whether it's, you know, Nike with Just Do It, selling that lifestyle, or things from decades ago like Plop Plop Fizz Fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Most of you remember that. Brill Cream, A Little Dab Will Do You, from like the 30s. And even before that, Good to the Last Drop, Maxwell House, that was in the 1920s when that started. They say they got it from Teddy Roosevelt in the earlier days, but that's probably just an advertising propaganda. But these things stick with us. And again, they use whatever it takes to get these, from logos to music, whatever, to get their message in our heads. And of course, we have best-selling self-help gurus who get their message, whether it's from a decade or two ago, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. Remember how that worked its way into our thinking before that? I'm okay, you're okay. Recently, Dr. Phil says stuff like, "How's that working out for you?" You know, or whatever. And, you know, they get these sort of catchphrases that work their way into our minds, mostly to sell their books, but I'm sure some of them are well-meaning, I don't know, and can offer some help. But, and of course, we are fresh in this political season, fresh off, hopefully, of this political season, where we've had logos and catchphrases from Make America Great Again to I'm With Her to Feel the Burn, whatever. And a lot of times, folks want us to think that the people sort of came up with these, but I mean, the political parties pay people big money to come up with things that are going to reach you and to get in your head and to make you think, I like what that person is selling. Whatever it is, whether it's advertisers or self-help gurus or politicians, they are not just giving you a message. What they are really giving you is a lifestyle, right? They think they... And again, and they have, you know, psychologists and all kinds of people that work for them that it's their job to figure out what it is you want, and then marketers and others to figure out how to sell that to you, how they can provide that thing that you want that will give you the life that you want. And that's all well and good, whatever, that's part of our goings-on of our culture. But what's important, a couple of things. One, you need to stop every now and then, like now, and often, and ask yourself, that message that they are giving me, is it the right message? That thing that they are selling one way or another, whomever it may be, is it right for me and for my family and loved ones? For my community, for my country, for the world, is that the right message? And then we need to rebel against all of that. Get the right hair care product or the right restaurant or soda or political agenda, whatever. Pick the one that's right for you. They all have their place in our culture. That's all well and good. But fix yourself to a different message. And what we have to get clear, people of the revolution, is what is the message of this kingdom revolution that we are supposedly part of. Of course, it's right there. The kingdom, the message of the kingdom revolution is the message of the kingdom. And you just heard it a couple of times in today's passage. Jesus came on the scene. After John was off the scene, Jesus came on the scene proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is here, is now." God's kingdom is coming here and now with me, with him. And then, toward the end of that passage, Jesus went about the region proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, God's kingdom. So that's the message. Make no mistake about that. So first, get that clear. Because so many of us, as I've said before, we people of faith kind of get confused and think Jesus' message was, well, be nice and be ready to die. But that's kind of the purpose of our faith, is to make us nice people and to get us ready to die. And while kindness is good, is an important part of Christian life and all other people for that matter, and we are prepared to go and be with the Lord when we die, but that's not the kingdom message. That's not the message of this kingdom revolution. It's not what Jesus went about the region proclaiming. And so Jesus' kingdom message can be summed up in the word, because what do we mean by that, by God's kingdom? And we just prayed it a little bit ago, thy kingdom come, not go, but thy kingdom come, thy will be done, which is another way of saying the same thing, on earth as it is in heaven. So that's what he's talking about, for God's rule, God's reign to come on earth as it is in heaven. That's why it's so revolutionary. And it is especially during these times of politics and whatever that we are mindful of just how revolutionary this message is. Because Jesus didn't come rubbing elbows with the Caesars and the leaders and trying to work his way. And he had offers, he had opportunities in his culture. Those who identified him as a golden boy and said, you could be an up-and-comer and you need to come with us. And Jesus rejected all of that for the sake of God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we order our lives, just as an aside, around, of course, local politics and state politics and national politics and all of that, and that has its place, so I'm not saying one thing or another about that, except to say, in the end, there is the one king and the one kingdom that will cover all the earth. And it is coming even now, in and through us. And that's the revolutionary message. And so, I think it's helpful for us to sum it up in the one word, shalom. Can you say it? Shalom. One more time. Shalom. Very nice. It's a beautiful word. It's a musical, sort of soothing, nice word. It even has a shh in it, which is always nice. Shalom. And so that's our, you know, you can come up with a logo or whatever it is you need, but that's our catchphrase. That's our word. That's the message. That's the brand of the kingdom revolution. Shalom. Because shalom is God's heart. Shalom is God's will, God's plan for the world. From the beginning, so from the foundation, if you go back to the very beginning, you see Adam and Eve, the first man, the first woman, living in peace with God and creation in this garden. That's the picture. That's setting the tone for how things are supposed to be. This is God's intention, God's plan. And that gets off track. And so we've got God's covenant with Abraham, that through Abraham and his family and this community, God is building a new community. And through them and God's revelation to and through them, all the world would be blessed. More centuries of ups and downs. You've got the exodus from slavery, eventually into the promised land. Again, a picture of shalom. More ups and downs, homecoming from exile, shalom. The songs of the psalmists, the sermons of the prophets, down to John the Baptizer and then Jesus, are all about shalom. Say it again, shalom. That's the message. And of course, we've understood shalom to mean peace. We've talked about it here. Let me just remind you, or if you weren't here, we've talked about this before. Shalom is more than just peace in the way maybe our culture thinks about it. It's more than just sort of a live and let live. You go your way, I'll go my way. We won't mess with each other. Shalom is, in another word, is wholeness. But again, as is often the case with words from another language or whatever, it takes explaining. So wholeness is another way of another good word to associate with shalom. And what we mean by wholeness is a universal well-being, a mutual flourishing among God and humanity, our neighbors, all humanity, and creation. That's shalom, not small potatoes, right? Universal peace and well-being and flourishing among God and humanity and creation. That's what we're talking about. And so that's what Jesus comes proclaiming. But Jesus doesn't just preach it, though he does. He preaches it, he teaches it, but he shows it. He does shalom, which is what happens with shalom. That's what you do with shalom. You do it. You don't just talk it. And so in Jesus, that's why we read his sermons, we read his teaching, we come to understand these things, but we also read the narratives, the stories about what Jesus did, so that we see shalom. And so when Jesus is, even in this, today's reading, when Jesus is healing the sick and diseased, and then when Jesus is feeding the hungry, we're seeing shalom. When Jesus invites the children to come, and when Jesus reaches out to the marginalized, to the people in the culture who are outcasts, who didn't have a place, and he brings them into community, he makes them part of his family, we are seeing shalom. And when Jesus rebukes the religious and political hypocrites, and when Jesus recovers the lost, goes after them. And when Jesus raises the dead, in all of that, we are seeing shalom. And, of course, when Jesus lets go and subjects himself to the hands of all evil and dies to redeem a fallen humanity and creation. And when Jesus is raised from death, attested to by God, yes, this is the way. And in Jesus' resurrection, he inaugurates the new creation. That's what was happening on that first Easter. We're 2,000 years into it. We are seeing God's shalom. Jesus lives it. This is God's plan. This is what we see throughout Scripture, all the way to the end in Revelation. Behold, see, the dwelling place of God is with people. Death is no more. Mourning and crying are no more. Hunger, sickness, all of that is no more. Heaven and earth are joined together. The dead are raised to life forever with God, and he dwells with the people. Peace, flourishing with God, humanity, creation. That's God's story. And so God's plan for you right now is for us to become new creatures today, if you never have before. To become new, whole creatures and to live in peace with God and with our neighbors and with creation. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. That's not just God's plan for you. That's God's plan for all the world, all nations, all people. God's plan is for universal well-being, flourishing, peace with God, neighbor, and creation. If you're like me, you've noticed a bit of a disconnect, to say the least. You may look at your local news, national news, world news, and put those two things, the news of the world and the radical revolutionary kingdom message of shalom, and see that things are not adding up. And so we might all kind of shake our heads and say, how can this ever be? You, Pastor Robert, are standing up there preaching that that is God's plan for all the world, for all people. And I don't see how that could ever be. And you wouldn't be alone in thinking that. Because we've got brothers and sisters all across the land, all over the world, in the faith, in the Christian family, who have looked at that and decided it just could never be. And so we're going to just kind of huddle together and make it about our own private little thing until we're out of here. Or concoct all kinds of crazy teaching about, you know, that we're just, until we get zapped away from here and everybody's left to fend for themselves. None of that is the message of the kingdom, of Jesus' revolution. So how can this ever be? How can we gather together today and look at God's plan for shalom and get from here to there. It is only when we begin, you and me, and yes, I mean you and me, only when we begin to align our lives with Jesus' message of kingdom shalom, only then will the world begin to get it. The reason for the disconnect is because God's people aren't in line with the message. Only when we begin to sacrificially, little by little, make whatever changes are necessary on the inside and the outside of our lives to get us in line individually and collectively as God's people, in line with Jesus's message of mercy and justice, restorative justice, redemptive justice, not retribution, restoration, peace, care, hospitality, forgiveness, in a word, love. Only then will the world begin to get it. When they see it, because we can't just shake our heads and preach it. I don't think it'll ever happen, but Jesus is all about love. Imagine that. Let's allow ourselves just a moment. Imagine the 2.2 billion Christians in the world on that page together. And I'm not even talking about the fact that it's a Jewish concept, so they've got that too. I mean, Jesus, it's his Jewish heritage that Shalom obviously comes from. And the Muslims have that same salam in their name, Muslim. Muslim means submission to Shalom. But I'm not even going to go there. Imagine if just us, as much as it's up to us, we can't control any of that other stuff. And brothers and sisters, we can't even control the 2.2 billion Christians around the world. So let's scale it down to this. Imagine if the 600 or so Western Hillers, imagine if you, in your own life, began to align yourself. And then we, as a family of faith, that's all we're really in charge of, began to align ourselves with the kingdom message of Shalom. I want my neighbor to flourish, and I will do whatever I can to help my family, my friends, coworkers, my neighbors, people in this community to have this peace with God, with each other, with creation. I'm going to live this. It's all you can do. But only then will the world begin to get it. Nobody would have looked at Jesus hanging on the cross with a handful of doubting, cowering, running for cover, literally, followers of his. Nobody would have looked at that scene and thought, there's something I can get behind. That's going to swell to 2.2 billion people. And it's eventually going to cover the message of that man is going to cover all the earth. Yet here we are. And so what it comes down to is this. As the passage we just heard ended, Jesus went around the region. So picture that. Picture this guy. Proclaiming, living, the good news of God's kingdom. So what we're really saying is, only when you and I begin first to believe, because we first got to believe it, and I think a lot of us don't, and then show just how good this good news really is, that's when the world will begin to get it. And then, brothers and sisters, you will find that we have a message. We are living the message of shalom that is becoming louder and more powerful than any advertiser or self-help guru or politician could ever come up with. It is a message that is truly revolutionary, and the only message that can truly change and save the world. Shalom. All together. Shalom. Let's pray. Loving Lord, indeed, as we've already prayed, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the wisdom and the vision and the faith to begin to make whatever adjustments are necessary inside, and the way we think and the way we look at the world and our lives, our attitudes, the words we speak, and outside, the way we live our lives. To begin to change. Change us, God. Make us new creatures. Kingdom people. And may your revolutionary message of shalom so have its way with our lives that others begin to see the message in us and want it for themselves, until all the world can see and know and live your shalom. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.